going through this series called Own Your Stuff. Stuff is the word that we use for sin. That we just started using for sin. That we use interchangeably with sin. We also say sin. But when we talk about stuff, we talk about this deep-rooted stuff. And what's incredible is we've been pretty vague in general about the stuff, right? Probably what we were hoping is that we would take a week or 3 weeks and talk about pornography addiction and how we get over that. Or anger issues. But we're talking about the deep, the soul-rooted stuff. And as we learned last week, sin is not wrongdoing, but wrong being. I'm going to say it again because I only think two people understood that from last week. Sin is not wrongdoing, but wrong being in relationship to God. And so that's what we're diving into today. We're going to continue on with the stuff that we just gave up last week. God, we're tired of running. We're tired of being miserable people when we come in here. Jesus lovers and people that don't know Jesus alike, we're tired of being miserable. So we gave that stuff up here. We prayed that stuff gone. We prayed that stuff away. God, I don't want to do this. And so this week, we continue. It was interesting, Craig, when we got out of our John series and we started into this series, he was already planning the next series. He's a way better pastor than I am. He plans things. I'm like, it'll get there, Craig. And then the week before, I'm scrambling. He says, I got an idea for the series, and I think we need to jump into Romans and read Paul's words in Romans. And I said, I don't know that, whatever, you know, that's okay. Romans is good. I don't know, though. And then we start teaching this series, and I have been immersed in Romans, which I find great. So we're going to be jumping into Romans. So last week we understood and we heard from Romans that all have, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And that puts us on the same playing field, right? That gives you freedom to love your neighbor, right? That gives you freedom to look at people that disagree with you and disagree with God and love them regardless, right? Oh man, you didn't catch that part. That gives us the freedom to look at people that disagree with us and disagree with God and love them anyway, right?
Yes.
Because we're all on that same level, right? Something going on here. Last week we had nobody here, and now we have a bunch of people here, and they're like completely unresponsive. I'll respond with giving. Right. So we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So then in Romans 6. Actually, let me back up. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, here's the mistake we make as people. What happens? Usually what happens if we think we're too fat and we want to do something about it? What do? We diet. We exercise, right? How about if we don't have money for something, we... What? Ask mom for money? Is that what I just heard? Mom, are you... You are here, Mom. Ask mom for money. Well, usually, the way this works is we go out and work, right? We earn money. Ew, what is wrong with you people? We go out and work and we earn money. We save money. And if we don't have enough money, usually we go get another job and we make these things happen. We make our own way, right?
Yes.
And we make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we live life understanding that we are in control, that we have this figured out, that we can do this, right? Yeah. So in Romans 6, This challenges that, because in Jesus, in this spiritual world, in this making ourselves in right being with God, we cannot do anything. Your prayers cannot be worded right enough. There was a woman when I was in Casper, Wyoming. We were checking out the CR program. It's Celebrate Recovery. It's a Christ-centered 12-step program. And I went to the newcomers class because I wanted to see what it took, you know, once what was the bait that brought these people in. Well, they had all sorts of different classes. This church is like a church of thousands of people that they host this in. And I went, and we started going around this room. And everybody said why they were there and what they were looking for, essentially. And this woman, I'll never forget it, she said, "I have been sober for the last 23 years of my life." And she's this older woman. I believe she had a walker with her. "I've been sober for 23 years of my life. And if this life is what I got sober for, this sucks. This is a woman that doesn't know Jesus. This is a woman that did amazing things by getting herself sober. It probably improved her family condition. It probably improved her condition with her friends and those around her. Gus and I were talking about just sheer willpower at lunch the other day of people that don't even know Jesus can just say, "I'm done doing this, whatever it is. I'm done doing this." And then they stop that certain behavior that's not beneficial, that's killing them and those around them, and they make that decision. And just out of sheer will, we can will that into existence. This woman did that without Jesus. And she said, "If this is all life is, this sucks." And I just stared at her in amazement, this longing, this understanding that this is not life at all. And I'm looking for something that's tangible. I'm looking for something that's going to put me in right being with God. And so there's nothing that we can do. In Romans 6, this is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to read the whole thing. Can I do that?
Yes.
I'm going to stumble through stuff. I'm going to lose my place. I'm going to miss words. Is that okay? Okay. It says this. I've taken it out of the New International Version. If you guys have a Bible with you, I want you following along. It's going to be on the screen behind me. If you guys have new version on your phone, there's apps for your phone. It's great. If you need a physical copy of the Bible, please take one. They're out in the back. You see where the snacks were? No one has trouble finding those. Okay? No one has trouble finding snacks, but it seems like you can't find a Bible. So if there are Bibles out there for you to have, please take one. Okay? You don't need it back. We want you to have it. We want you to read it. Okay? Romans 6 says this: "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those that have died to sin." He's talking about people that follow Jesus already. "We are those that have died to sin. Can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father," talking about God now, "we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. We should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." He's talking to Jesus lovers here. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from life, from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Paul saying, you are too stupid to understand this. Okay? I'm glad he did, because that's me. And well, good. I'm good company. I'm using an example from everyday life because you're too stupid, Paul says. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. What were you slaves? When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did that reap at the time from the things you were now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap, why it leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift from God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is probably when I should just drop the mic and walk off the stage. There is nothing that we can do to earn salvation. Do you understand this? There is nothing, no amount of goodness, no amount of bootstraps pulled up, no amount of anything that we can do to earn what Jesus did for us on the cross. What Jesus did was born out of love for us. What Jesus did was born out of love for this creation that he continued to try to set into right being from the time he created us. We've rebelled against that. We've been in wrong being with God. And there's nothing that we could do. There's nothing that we could, time and time again, when you read from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's dealing with the Israelites. They are stupid people like myself. These people worship God in this way that doesn't even seem right to me. It doesn't even seem possible to me. They were led around in this desert by God. As he took them from this captivity, from this slavery, being enslaved by the Egyptians. And as they walked around the desert, they were just angry with God, saying things like, we were better off being slaves. I don't know of any slave that says that. We were better off in slavery, in injustice. And these people were led by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke or cloud by day. And God provided for them miraculously food, quail, manna, all this incredible stuff. These snakes were biting them, so God made a way that they would not die as a result of these snake bites. God is taking care of these people, and these people are just still not happy with themselves. still not happy with the way things are because they're us. So their leader goes up to the mountain to write the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows those? Maybe not. But you've heard at least probably of the Ten Commandments. He goes up, and we don't know how long he was up on this mountain for, but all of a sudden they said, you know what? God, Moses is gone. God's gone. We need something to worship. So they pooled all their gold together, and they made this giant calf. Sounds legit, right? Gotta worship something, might as well be a cow. And they made this cow, and they worshiped this cow. And I don't know how long he was gone, but I can't think it was for that long. I think people are just that quick to fall back. So here it's money. Here it's image management. I don't know if you guys know what I shaved my beard. Every once in a while, speaking of image management, I need to address this. Every once in a while, I need to shave my beard to find out how many more chins I have. Because of my love of donuts, I need to know what the count is up to. I think 3, maybe now. So, you're welcome. Image management, money, anger, all this stuff that just spills out. All this stuff that just spills out and takes us away from the worship of God, the worship of the one true God. We start worshiping through all these different avenues. Pornography. Drugs. Affairs. God knew this about us. God knew this about how corrupt our hearts were, how jacked up as a people we are, how stupid Adam would be. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do something once and for all. It used to be that these people, to put themselves in right being with God, had to sacrifice animals to God. They had to go to this altar and they had to give like the best of what they had. The best fruit, the best vegetables, the best grains, the best animals. Just to burn them up on fire. Put themselves in right standing with God. And even that wasn't good enough. Even that wasn't, you know, here we are bringing our best and doing what God's asked of us, and God said, you know what, this isn't working either. So I'm going to have to come. God himself is going to have to come. God himself is going to have to be the sacrifice for us. Because we could not do it. We cannot do it. This righteousness that they talk about, this holiness that they talk about, only comes through what Jesus did, through the cross, through the resurrection. And some of us today come here that we've been trying so hard all week to be good Christian people. To be good. When we just need to take a break, we need to take a couple steps back from that trying. And what I love is it talks about this scripture, this in verse 17. It says this, but thanks be to God that though you used to be a slave to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed you. Obedience is right being with God. You can do all this stuff all day long. But if you don't have a heart that's obedient, if you don't have a heart that is just bought in, and what does it say, allegiance, that has been claimed by God, and that allegiance is now God's, you're doing it wrong. You're running in circles. You're chasing your tail. So God asks us to just obey, to just be. To just do the things that he says here within Scripture, to just be the things that he
asks us to be.
And what's incredible is this way of life benefits everyone around you. I could look at it selfishly and say, God, this doesn't benefit me at all. These people are angry at me. These people are spitting on me. These people want me dead. These people want to hurt me. Because of how I am in relationship with you. Because of my right being with you. I was at a party in high school, and it was before I became a heavy drinker that I am now. I'm kidding. I'm so sorry. Wow. Oh, man. I was at this party in high school, and back in high school days, I played it. You guys know what straight edge is? Mm-hmm. Nobody listens to hardcore in this. Okay. Straight edge is this very militant movement that doesn't, they're usually vegan. They don't eat meat because it hurts animals. The very, very militant side of straight edge will find drug dealers and beat them to death or burn their lab down to the ground with them in the house. And then they kind of converge in this hardcore music that talks about just living this straight life. No drugs, alcohol, or anything like that that includes your body on smoking. I never claimed that straight edge to the degree in which they did, but I claimed straight edge in the fact that I never drank or smoked or anything like that. And I remember going to a party, and I remember it was in Wyoming, of all places, Yoder. I went to the big city of Yoder. It was something. We tore it up. We ate dinner in Chugwater. Yeah. I went with this girl. It was oddly enough, I was dating my wife. We were heavily dating at that time, right? Years in. And I get a call from this girl who is my science teacher's daughter begging me to go with her to the prom. Well, she wasn't a Scotts Bluff High student. I'd only seen her once. And I told her no. I said, I'm in a committed relationship. Are you kidding me? No one does that. And I told her no. So then I go to school the next day, and my teacher says, hey, my daughter called you. And I said, oh, that was your daughter. This is a chance to get an A, because I was an F student. This is a chance to get an A. So then I hear the mom, who is my science teacher, and I hear her heart and why she wants me to go, because she trusts me. I know my daughter will be safe with you. My daughter's got some mental issues, very angry woman. And the few times that I did see her in art class, she was there because she was visiting a psychologist because she used to cut constantly on herself. And so the mom said, I see that you're a cool dude. Yeah. And would you take her? And so I go and I talk to Sherry, and she wasn't that thrilled about it. Baby, are you? No, she's not teaching children. I always talk about great stuff when she's gone. And so I go, and long story short, this is the first time I ever find out that Wyoming has drive-up liquor. You can just drive up to a booth and say, give me whatever you have. And the creepiest part of this was there was like this 26-year-old dude with this woman who's not even a senior in high school yet. He was her date. As I look back on this, I think, man, this is a really screwed-up situation. Well, it was great because he was there and he could drive up and buy liquor for all of us. And so they're all getting their orders, and what do you want, Adam? What do you want? I was like, I don't drink. Well, what do you want? I don't drink. And I never said because Jesus told me not to. There was none of that. But I remember just being this buzzkill in the party, and they literally went and sat in the kitchen around this little card table, all getting blitzed, and they kept just talking about me, and I was in the living room just sitting on the couch by myself. Awesome prom, right? But I remember choices like that and things like that in Jesus. That's what can happen to us. That's how the world can view us. That's how we can be treated. And we look at it in the very selfish light and say, God, this isn't doing any benefit. And then we start living this. And we start giving our allegiance to God in a way when our heart is truly given over what we see is this very nasty side of ourselves. We see that selfish side of ourselves, and we see it kind of coming out, and we want to push it back in. Because it's easier to just have it in there and not deal with it and just continue on as the person that we are than it is to let Jesus have those things. Than it is to be obedient to the things that Jesus asks us to do. And all we have to do is just the submission. This God. My way is not right. Your way. My way of being is not right. What do I do? You need to obey. And you need to have faith that I'm going to take care of you. Do you believe the words that I've spoken to you and spoke into you already into your situation? Do you believe the words through Scripture that I've already spoken about how you are loved and how you are cherished and how my desire for you is just to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's it. Do you believe the love that I have for you when I went to the cross and died? Do you believe the love that I had for you when I actually conquered death and came back and made it possible for you to be in right being with me? Do you believe that when you said yes to me, when you said, Jesus, I love you, and this Holy Spirit then indwelt in you, which is Jesus, which is God in us, with us, helping us, speaking into our situation, making all of this possible, nothing that we can do, nothing that we can do. But this Holy Spirit, being obedient to that, do you believe that that can change you? Do you believe that that can change your situation? I spent the longest time saying no to that. I spent the longest time saying, no, it can't. No, it won't. I look back and I say, well, why? Why is that? And it's because I won't let it. I choose to not let go of my stuff. I choose to not allow my allegiance to lie to God. This beautiful thing that Jesus did in Jesus' life. Jesus practiced, this is coming from a book that we're reading called The Good and Beautiful Life by James Martin Smith. I took this excerpt out of it and it says this. Jesus practiced what he preached. He was beaten, spit on, but he did not retaliate. He was tortured and did not lash out. He loved people who hated him and forgave the people who executed him. Jesus is not asking us to do something he himself would not do. He invites us into this way of living that transcends the normal course of action. Again, outside of the kingdom and without the strength of the indwelling of Christ, we cannot do this. In our own flesh, we do not have the capacity to behave in these extraordinary ways. However, we follow an extraordinary God who offers extraordinary resources. When we look at Scripture and we say, I can't do this, you're right. This is beyond me, you're right. I can't love like this, you're right. The things you say are impossible, you're right. But not with God. Not with this crying out to Jesus. Not with this Jesus living within us. That made all things possible to us. That made forgiveness possible. That made forgiving others possible. That made looking at people around you, looking in your neighborhoods, looking in your work, and seeing the most scuzzy people that you absolutely cannot stand. And seeing them as people that are meant to house the fullness of Jesus.
Amen.
Seeing them that way. Not just saying, yeah, that's a good thing for them. They should find Jesus. But seeing them, treating them, responding to them in such a way that you were meant to house the fullness of Jesus. Those things are all possible through Jesus. That's the only way that's possible is through Jesus. Augsburger, this is coming from the same book, observes, Jesus chose the way of the cross as the clearest expression of how God confronts and deals with human evil, deals with human stuff. Not by responding in kind, giving evil for evil, but by extending self-giving, non-resistant love. From the time we were created, that's all he's done. It's by extending self-giving, non-resistant love. And we as lovers of Jesus, or future lovers of Jesus, need to choose obedience not because of an abstract principle, but because we are his disciples. We do the things he did. We do what he taught in order to become the kind of person he is. Where do you start? You start with what Jesus already said. Where do you start? You start with what Jesus is saying to you right now. Some of you, maybe it's, I don't know Jesus, and Jesus is saying, here I am, come at me, bro. I think that should be a t-shirt. Jesus says, here I am, I'm available to you. This life that you've lived for so long, and you said, if this is what a sober life looks like, and it sucks, you're right. If you said yes to Jesus and you look at your life and say, my life sucks, you're probably right, because you're probably trying to do it without him. Somewhere along the line, you've missed the point, you've missed the boat, and you came in wrong dealing with that. So, obedience, will you be obedient? Only this morning. I'm not asking about tomorrow. The rest of your life. Will you be obedient for the rest of your life to Jesus? This is when true life change happens, is when you say yes to that. This is when God picks you up by your ankles and shakes you upside down. In a good way. And you watch the world around you just start changing as you change. As your being with God becomes corrected and you become in right, standing with him. As you believe that the things within Scripture are 100% possible through Jesus. The only way I can get up here and stand up here and talk to you about this is because these are the things that I've experienced and continue to experience. I'm not selling snake oil. I'm not telling you fibs or fairy tales. I'm watching what happened in my own life. I'm watching what happened in my family's life as a result of what happens in my life. I'm watching what happens around me, the world around me, and how God is changing the world around me. In my home first, with my own children, in my neighborhood, as I love my neighbors, as Jesus has allowed me to do, as his Holy Spirit lives inside of me and says, you know what? I want you to love me in this way. In miraculous ways in which I don't even know how to love my neighbor, God speaks into those situations and says, do it like this. This person needs to hear from you today. And that only comes through Jesus. That only comes through this obedience to doing what he asks, what he says, and how he calls us to do. God, we love you. And it's hard to reconcile that there's nothing that we can do to earn what you've asked us to do. Except just say yes to it. That's it. There's nothing that we can do because Jesus did it all. You knew what it would take and you did it. God, Jesus, made it available to be in right being, in right relationship. All we have to do is admit that, own that, live that, believe that. God, thank you for the cross. God, thank you for the love that you've had for us.
since our birth, since our creation. God, those of you in the room that do not know you, that do not understand you, that do not know you, God, we just pray. We would ask them a question. Who are you? God, and that question asking will just be followed by obedience. When you show up and you answer that question, when you show up and show the way, when you show up and explain who you are and your desire for you. God, for those of us that just run hard on our own steam and in the Christian faith and just thought by doing, we were earning some favor with you or being in right standing with you, God. God, slow us down. Cripple us if need be. God, speak life into our situation. God, speak truth into our situation. Bring about an obedience to the things that you desire from us and not the things that we desire. That's good. Thank you, God, that through you, though we used to be slaves to sin, we have come to obey it in our heart. God, in the teaching that has now claimed our allegiance. People together as a community, individually, that do what you've taught, that be what you've taught, become the kind of person you are. It's in your name we pray.